Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Recall that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a church that he has spent quite a bit of time with in the past. He spent as much as a year and a half in Corinth, and likely Paul, now much later or later in Ephesus, is writing this letter. Most likely, Paul got some type of report from the church in Corinth as far as how they were doing and what they were struggling with. And we see in this particular chapter a pretty significant change of topic here from chapter 7, where he was dealing with sexual intimacy and marriage and divorce and singleness and all those kinds of things. This morning in chapter 8, he turns to a topic that was much more of an issue directly in that era than it is today, but it has to do with eating meat sacrificed to idols. Now, recall that the Jews, it was a big deal what you ate and didn't eat, and they were careful to follow Old Testament law regarding food, and, you know, they could be rather legalistic about food. But in this particular case, there are people, and there's, you know, a false religion, false gods, false worship that took place in Corinth. And sometimes they would offer animals to their false gods in worship of those gods. Well, then the meat of those animals would be available in the marketplace. And the question is well, should a Christian now go ahead and buy meat in the marketplace and eat that food? What if it was sacrificed to an idol? Now, Paul already dealt with this issue, and actually we've been through it. If you've been going through the journey with us, we were in the book of Romans already, and in Romans 14, Paul talked about really, you know, food goes in the stomach and comes out of you, and it's no longer a big deal in the sense of religious devotion. We are free to eat. We don't have the religious laws of before. In fact, even Paul was like, I'm not even concerned about whether there was meat sacrificed to an idol, because an idol, and he'll bring this up in this chapter too, because an idol's not even real. It's not, they're just made up. So like, don't even give credit to the reality of a false god or a false idol, because they're not real. And he was saying essentially then and today that if you're strong in your faith and, you know, you don't even worry about something that's false like that. But there's other concerns as it relates to eating meat sacrificed to idols, or just being involved in anything that has to do with an idol. He's more concerned about others and more concerned potentially about the Christian's reputation and how it could be looked than he is the actual food itself. Because again, he's like, the food itself doesn't really do anything. It's just food. But let's go ahead and take in the chapter. It's not a very long one. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. And that's interesting, a lot brought up just in that one verse. It's bringing up the sacrifice of idols like we've talked about, and that they have knowledge, but knowledge sometimes can make us prideful in knowledge. But we need to make sure that we have love for God and love for one another. Verse 2, if anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. And may we have that kind of devotion to God. I hope that you're listening, that I'm teaching, because not only we believe in him, and we're thankful for the cross, and we're thankful for Jesus, but that we love God. I mean, first of all, he loved us by sending his only son to die on that cross for us, to forgive us, to promise eternal life. And our proper response to him is to say, God, thank you for the gift of the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for spiritual guidance. There's no better place to go than you. And I do love you, God, and I want to follow you. And if anyone loves God, he is known by him, meaning God knows you. When you love him, he knows who his children are. Hallelujah. So he goes from that opening to this. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. So that's really Paul's like main premise, and one of the reasons why he wasn't concerned about whether how the meat got to the market, because he believes that all those idols are just false anyways. They're not even real. So it's not like there's some magic potion over the meat, because it's just meat. But then he says this in verse 5, for even if there are so-called, meaning they're not real, but so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, and I think what he's trying to say there is, even though these gods aren't real, there are people who worship false gods. I mean, that's real. The fact that people worship false things is real, but the gods themselves are not real. And then he says, as indeed there are many small g gods and many lords, meaning in the world, there's lots of false religions, lots of false devotion. Yet for us, there is but one God, capital G, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, capital H, him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him, capital H. So there really is only one true God. That's the nature of Christianity and the Bible, is that God is one, God alone, and he's been now revealed through Jesus Christ, and he is the only true God. That is what we believe as Christians, and that's what I believe, that's what Paul believed, that's what the Bible says. Therefore, for Paul, that's why he's not worried about idols, because they're not even real. Moving on. However, not all men have this knowledge. So some people don't understand that, and some people give a lot of credence. You know, I think sometimes people are so afraid of everything false that they're almost giving too much credence to false things. Like, by the power of God and the power of the word of God and our faith that he is God alone, you know, step on the neck of the serpent. I mean, the devil's real, but like, basically, don't give so much credence to all this false stuff, but place your faith in Jesus and look at everything else as small s small and God capital G big, and we follow a big God and everything else is just nonsense. And then you don't give power to all this false stuff, because you don't think of it as high and lifted up. You only think of God and his son Jesus as high and lifted up. Anyways, however, not all men have this knowledge, but some being accustomed to the idol. So some grew up, you know, being afraid of idols, thinking of idols, knowing of idols, and they're really cautious about anything that might be devoted to an idol. They might be giving too much thought to the power of an idol, and therefore they're concerned about it all the time. But some being accustomed to the idol until now eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So because they're giving so much credence to idols, and they maybe have knowledge or are concerned that a meat might have been sacrificed to an idol, and they give so much credence to an idol, they're, in a way, he's calling that weak. He's saying now they're really concerned about it, because in a way they're giving so much credence to an idol. But in verse 8 he says, but food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. Again, Paul gives no credence to idols, so he's kind of like, what does it matter? But take care that this liberty of yours, so although we as Christians really don't have to go to the store, now this isn't as common in our day, but we don't have to go to the store and worry about whether, well, was there someone who processed this cow who worships idols, as an example, because this idol's not even real, we don't have to worry about that. So we have the liberty to not worry about that. We can eat meat and not worry about that. And he's saying you could do that then too. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? So this is where it gets interesting, and where I think for our purposes today, we could broaden the scope of this discussion. For instance, let's say we said, well, you know what, we have liberty to do whatever we want. We don't have to worry about that. We've been given freedom in Christ. Well, there are things I think that we could do that would hinder, you know, I mean, it's not supposed to hinder God's name because God is high and lifted up. But if we as believers of Jesus partake of things in our lives that are not of Jesus's character, and people see us doing something that is out of character, it doesn't make us look good, nor does it make our devotion to God look good, or even God himself, because we are beginning to, in our liberty, act as though we can do whatever we want and that, like, sin doesn't matter. you know, I've confessed that prior to becoming a Christian, I used to love to gamble, and gambling got me in trouble. Not only gambling like in a casino, which now I have not done for 25 years, but then gambling in a sense in the stock market. So I did that after I was a Christian, because I was doing it legally, and, you know, it got me in trouble. I lost money in the stock market, you know, in 1999, and that's when I had to really wise up about money. So anyways, I have made it a point to not be in a casino, to not gamble, to do that kind of a thing anymore. I would not want to be seen gambling in a casino. I'm not saying someone else might enjoy $50, and, you know, I'm not saying it's a good idea. But it's a personal conviction that I have that I don't want to do that. You know, it would be like, as an example, because here's what it says. Let me go on. For someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idol? Now, this seems like Paul's raising the ante here, because he's saying, what if someone sees me dining in an idol's temple? Well, an idol's temple is actually the place of false worship. And what if you were actually having a meal? I don't know if they had like a restaurant, you know, so to speak, where you could go to the idol's temple and maybe buy food there at the idol's temple and even partake of it. Maybe they cooked it at the temple. Well, now you're actually like hanging out, you know, in an idol's temple. And although the food doesn't matter, Paul's saying, it's not like it's just food because the idol's not real. But if someone sees you there and you're literally dining in a place of false worship, it almost looks like you're there worshiping the false idol. And Paul's saying in that case, you'd be using your liberty too far, and people would see you dining in this idol's temple, and they'd be confused about maybe your walk or maybe about what's proper for a Christian to do. So in that case, you're taking your liberty too far. You know, let's say you go to, you know, in our case, you know, we have the Milwaukee Bucks, a good basketball team in Milwaukee. They're downtown, their stadium's downtown. And, you know, so you go to a Bucks game, and there's restaurants slash bars all around, right? Like there wouldn't be any venue like that. So you go there and you know, have a beer and you have a burger and fries with your friend, you know, before or after the game. Well, you know, I don't think that's a big deal. You know what I mean? You're going down with a friend to enjoy a game. No big deal. People do that all the time. And I don't think that we're dragging Jesus's name into the mud by, you know, doing that. However, what if you're at a club? I mean, when I say a club, I don't even stay up at night. But imagine, I'm thinking of some kind of like more of a drunken kind of dance place, pick up girls kind of a place, and it's 1 in the morning. And now someone sees you at a club at 1 in the morning at a place where really, and at a time where really nothing good's happening anymore. You know, it's really a sinful place. If people, you're a believer in Jesus and people see you there, you're going to look like you're like, what are you doing there? You know what I mean? And is it appropriate really even for you to be there at that time? And I'd say I wouldn't want to be there at 1 in the morning. I don't know what I'd be doing there. You know what I mean? I'm happily married and committed to my wife. I don't need to be at a club at 1 in the morning. That's more of a pickup joint. So here's the point. Even though, well, legally, could I be there and be a believer in Jesus? I guess I wouldn't have to be drunk and I wouldn't have to be carousing women. Well, you could be there, but should you be there? And, you know, would it be a good reflection? It's probably not a place that I would want to be. I wouldn't want people to misread why I was there either. So anyways, you could use your liberty in Christ and take it to a degree where you're beginning to put yourself in a situation that's compromised and where people could view you or your faith as compromised. And you could, you know, what if you're with a brother in that case and maybe you're strong? You're like, you know what? I'm not paying attention to ladies or to men at this place, and I'm not going to give myself to drunkenness. I'm hanging out with you, but I'm at this place, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't, it's not the best place to be, but what if you're with your brother and he's not as strong as you? Well, he might be drinking too much and starting to look too much at, you know, what's going on in that place and be tempted to either drunkenness, drugs, girls, or whatever. So are you, by being there with someone else, helping them to, you know, get into inappropriate behavior because they might not be as strong as you? And that's really trying to give you an example of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Is it's like, you know what, don't use your liberty in Christ to the extent that it's going to hinder your reputation, God's reputation, or drag your brother into sin, or having them, you know, what if they'd be like, oh, well, hey, Pastor Jay, yeah, he goes to the casinos all the time. Or Pastor Jay, yeah, he goes to the clubs, so what's the problem? Well, I can go to the clubs. Well, maybe if I did go and I didn't sin, I'd be strong enough to not. But for them, if they were there, they might get into all sorts of problems. But by the fact that I'm kind of endorsing being in that location at that time, it frees people up to for them to be in a sinful, you know, lifestyle or place. And I just don't want my brother to stumble. So listen to what it says now in verse 11. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. So Paul's saying, listen, if you're using your freedom and liberty in such a way that someone who's not as strong as you is using the bad influence that you're partaking in, they're taking it to another degree, or they're not realizing that it's getting them entangled in sin, you're actually contributing to the problem by using your liberty to tempt your brother into sin. Because he's not as strong as you. He or she is weak. And by being in that place, it's confusing them. Don't do it. So what Paul says in verse 13 then is, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Now, I think Paul ate meat again. But I think what really he's saying here is, you know what? If I ate meat in an idol's temple, the meat wouldn't matter. However, it could really confuse my brother, and maybe they would end up going to the idol's temple again, and that's not a good place for them to be. So you know what? I'm not going to that idol's temple to eat meat because I don't want my brother to stumble. So I think we have to look out for God's reputation, our reputation, and out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't use your freedom that maybe you're strong enough to participate in to lead other people into sinful practices. If you want to read more about this, you can do so in Romans 14, which talks much about the same thing. Praise God that we do have freedom in Christ and that we can enjoy this beautiful world that God has given us, but don't use that freedom in Christ as a means to entertain sin. That's not what God wants us to do. Let's honor Him. God bless you all.